Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, welcome to Daytime After Dark. Oh my God, I am so excited about the week. This is the week of guests we are getting this week. Starting with Austria Jones, and I probably just messed up his first name, and I'm really, really, really sorry if I did. I'm so sorry, and there are so many announcements coming, and so we are waiting for, oh my God, Austria Jones to come on. He was playing Tango for the last couple of days. And so we are waiting, you know, for him to call in. So we are just waiting. No, I'm waiting. And Nadia is waiting. And, you know, this is an exciting time. Daytime After Dark, this is, you know, probably the most excited moment that I love. Okay, so we have Austria Jones. I probably messed up your name, and I'm truly sorry, but you guys, you recently saw him playing Take Good, which he did an awesome job, and he's on my favorite show, NCIS, and Ryan R. Parenthood, everything like that. So let's welcome him to the show.
Hello, ladies. How are we?
Oh, my. Yes, hi. Oh, my God. You did an incredible job on General Hospital for the last couple of days. That you were on.
Thank
it.
So
I know you were just filling in for, you know, real. But you honestly put it out of the park. You honestly did a great job. I mean, I feel sorry that you were in jail. No, I did. I mean, because if you asked me 20 years ago if I loved Taggart, no, because I'm a Sunny fan. And but now I'm that Sunny and Taggart taking on the road together, taking down Cyrus Vanone. Yes, I love Taggart now. And but Sunny's missing, so that's a whole new problem. So
yeah, that's a brand new thing.
Yes, especially for me, it's not good. And how was it when you got the call to come to General Hospital?
Well, one, it was a tremendous blessing, but even more so, it was just a fantastic surprise because it came out of nowhere. I didn't have to I didn't have to audition for the role because I had auditioned for Mark Teschner, who is the casting director, maybe 5 or 6 times before, and he just remembered me. So this was an emergency recast situation, and they just called and offered the role to me through my agent.
Wow. They should have got you on there long before. I mean, you are too good of a talent not to got picked many times before. And, I mean, even though, thank God, Mark Teschner remembered you, and Mark Teschner, you guys, is the god of casting directors. I mean, he's put so many good people on the map. And it's just really interesting that, you know, when I saw you on the screen and I was talking to Nadia, and, you know, she's like, let's get him on the show. I'm like, how do we do that? Because, oh, I will take care of it. So basically, we got you on. I was very excited. And I know, I think yesterday was your last day. I mean, I'm not sure. If yesterday or the day before was your last day taping, or are you still taping? Or can you answer me that?
Yeah, I can answer you that. I am no longer taping. I taped both of my episodes. I only did two episodes. And I taped both of them back in November. So it was some time ago. The second episode, which was my final episode, just aired this past Friday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, because, I mean, we are going to have this really – we are having the two takers on this week. We have Real on Thursday. So,
oh, that's fantastic. Congratulations.
Yeah, the two takers. But, no, I think you brought something different to the role, and Real, if you're listening, I love you. Don't worry about it. But I just thought you were really great, and you really, you know, they should bring you on and take us further. There, it's out there, people. That could work. You know, that could
well,
work, in
your
my
lips
opinion,
to God's
because,
ears. Your lips to God's ears. And you know what? I was looking at your build.
I was looking at your build, and, you know, you're so handsome and sexy, and I don't know why you haven't been on people's sexiest covers. So they will have People Magazine will be hearing from me. But I just think that, Mark Tessner, if you're listening to me, please bring him on. You know, for take his brother. Like a brand new role, because I believe you could do it. I could see you as Tega's brother or cousin, or even if they
sure
wanted to bring you on as Curtis's brother, or back from the dead brother that they thought died but maybe really didn't die. This is all in my head. So, yeah.
Yeah, sure. You know what? And interestingly enough, I have seen some comments and posts from some fans who have suggested similar things. I've seen, I've seen more so that people seem to think that I look a lot like Donnell, who plays Curtis.
Yes, Curtis.
And
yes.
Yeah, and so people have suggested that maybe the writers might find a way to bring me on as Curtis's brother, which I would take that. That'd be fantastic. And I just fooled them all pretending to be Taggart for a day or two. I don't know. I don't know how that would work.
Well,
but it's,
you
in
know,
soap
and
opera,
I have
soap
such,
opera world, it's, anything's possible.
Yeah. And I have such a quest on Donnell, too, that Nani, if you're listening, which I know she's on here, please, let's find out his information, too. But no, it's just you've been, besides booking on Z8, back, I don't know, I want to say, you know, this COBRA is making my brain not work or remember what day is sometimes,
sure,
what year is. But you
welcome
were also on Young and the Restless.
I was. I had an under five role on Young and the Restless. I played a British Virgin Islands tour guide.
Yeah, and what year was that?
Oh wow, you're asking me to go back in my brain now.
I know.
Young
okay,
and the Restless. I feel like that was like 5 years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, maybe 2015.
Okay, well, because everyone knows my little secret about Y&R is Christoph St. John, who was my TV husband. Yeah, no, seriously, he was. He came on so many times. He never said no to me. I could talk him into anything, you know, for me.
Well, sure, God rest his soul.
Yeah, do you have any scenes with him?
I didn't work with Christoph. I honestly can't remember who my scene was with on that show now that I think about it, but it was not with Christoph. I do recall that.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, being on Young and the West is cool. I've been watching it for as long as Kristoff's been on. That, you know, oh, by the way, you were on in 2015, and you were
okay,
a tour guide.
Yeah, there it is.
Okay, fine. I looked it up. I will amend that, people. I did look it up. Okay, fine. So, yeah, you did a great job on there. I mean, you know, now you're on two soaps. So now we just have to get you on Days and Bottom Beautiful, and then you can say you've been on all four soaps.
Come on, let's run the gamut.
If we have you on Bold and Beautiful, the only problem is a half an hour soap, and we don't get to see our favorites every day. So I might have to say no for Bold and Beautiful for you, and then have you on Dates, because then we will see you more. So that's the way I would go. But how was working on Scandal? You did a great job on Scandal. I mean, talking about hitting the lottery with, you know, ABC hit show. How was that?
Sure. It was fantastic. I mean, one of the nicest, most wonderful sets I've ever worked on. I mean, I used to say to people all the time, everyone on the crew, in the cast, on Scandal is just happy all the time. And maybe they were so happy because it was such a hit show and their jobs felt very secure. But regardless, everyone was really wonderful. It was just a very warm and welcoming place to be. Darcy was fantastic to work with on that show. I loved working with Darcy. She's just super sweet, super considerate. Really enjoyed my time with Shadow. I was very fortunate to have done as many episodes as I did.
Well, yeah, and you were great. And, I mean, Scandal last, you know, a while. It gave us six or seven great years, I want to say. And, you know, it was, like, one of the top Thursday night TV shows. So you can book that. It's awesome. I would love to see you on Grey's Anatomy. I think you would be a great doctor on that. You know, because Grace is only 2 feet away from Zeno Hospital. I think I want to say they are on the same lot. And I don't know if Scandal was on the same lot. Was Scandal on the same lot?
No, Scandal used to shoot at a different lot. Both were in Hollywood, but they were on different lots. But Grace and General Hospital are on the same lot. Another fantastic actor I got to work with on Scandal was an actress named Kimri Lewis. And Kimri has gone on to be, she was a series regular on Single Parents on ABC. And now she has a new show, I think working with Kenan Thompson. So I'm not sure who she plays on that show yet. It hadn't aired yet, but she's on that show now.
Well, and I mean, you list of credits, like if I went through the list of all the credits you've been on since, we would be here all night, so yeah. But I mean, come on, Desperate Housewives, I mean, come on. Right then and there, I remember that episode because you were the security guard on that. That was really the first nighttime show besides Dynasty, Knox Landing, Dallas for this generation, my generation, really, to fall in love with something that was so soapy and was so good and crazy all at the same time.
Another one of those sets where everyone was really sweet. I had a great time working with Terry, I believe my scene was, and she was just a fantastic joy to work with. It was so much of that show was rooted in its comedy. And I was able to just kind of create a kind of comic moment with her, and she leaned right into it with me, and it was a very fun experience.
Wow!
In fact, there was a moment where they were shooting her close up, and she needed to be able to react to what I was doing, but she couldn't see me, and so she said to the director, "Well, I can't see him. I can't react to what he's doing," and so I gave her a business card that had my picture on it, and she put it up on the visor in the car so that she could see my face, so she could react to that spot where my face was in the picture.
Oh, that is awesome. I mean, and also you were on Hot in Cleveland, the one with Joe Clooney as the police officer. So how was that in itself? Because you're talking about another one of a good hit that I believe they ended too soon, in my opinion. And Betty White, Valerie Bertinelli, all of those women did a great show. It was like almost Golden Girls for the younger generation. And how was that experience?
Again, another one of those great experiences. And my real key takeaway from Hot in Cleveland, I mean, there were, you know, a number of wonderful things because, again, the entire cast was very welcoming, very collaborative. But my key takeaway was that Betty White, let me tell you something, there's a reason that Betty White has been doing this for decades upon decades. Betty White, when I did that show, had just turned 93. It was just after her 93rd birthday. And when we did the run-through, Betty White was the only one of the four women that was off book. All the other three women, Valerie and don't let me mess up everybody's names. But the other four women, the other three women were all holding their scripts during the run through, and Betty White was completely off book on every scene for the entire episode, and she was the queen of leaning into an ad lib and an improv moment. So if you decided to go off book with her, oh, she would play. She would play with you. It was great.
Wow. I mean, that is incredible because, you know, also this COVID-19, we've lost so many good people, older people to COVID, and everyone wanted to put Betty White in a plastic bubble on Twitter. I'm not kidding.
There's the weekly call to just check on Betty White,
right?
Make sure she's doing okay.
And
right, sure.
I'm jealous. I love Betty White. I loved her since the Golden Girls. She was this, to me, she will never retire. To me, she's one of those that is going to, until she passes away, in my view, she's going to work. She, you know, no, I mean, she looks younger than she really is, so that's a really good thing for her. And
another thing to note about that, at the time that I did Hot in Cleveland, I want to say that was one of three shows that she was actively doing. Three shows at 93. Yeah, she's a killer. She's a killer. She's spry.
Yeah, she really is, and you keep popping up on my favorite TV shows. This is awesome. But my love is NCIS LA. And I love that show. I adore that show. That show is awesome. Chris O'Donnell, Ariel Cose, Clyde St. Even more. And so how about that? Because I'm trying to remember who you were working with on that, but I love that.
Let's see. I worked with Chris and with Eric. My scene was with Chris and Eric, and they again, you know, interestingly, Well, I'll tell this story first. So, yeah, Chris and Eric, super, super welcoming, wonderful to work with. We spent the entirety of our time between takes talking about our golf games and who might be the better golfer. Chris, you know, just lives on the golf course in his free time, loves playing golf. So there was a lot of golf talk between takes. But interestingly enough, my time with or the cross-pollination with that particular show is, even though I didn't work with LL on that show, when I went to the audition at Paramount for that episode, LL was sitting in his trailer, and he was kind of sitting in the doorway, hanging out on the steps, just hanging out, you know, waiting for whatever his next shot coming up was. And so he saw me walking to the casting office, and you know, we just saw each other and gave each other a nod. And then when I was done with the audition, I came back out, and he was still sitting there, and you know, we gave each other the peace sign. And the full circle moment for that for me was when I first moved to L.A., I did background work. Back in 1996, I did extra work on a couple different shows. I would either be working on Living Single or I'd be working on In the House. And I was basically on each show every other episode. So I spent a lot of time working background on In the House, and I would hang out and kick it with LL on the set all the time. And we would chat about this and that. And I remembered asking him one time between takes, how do you appreciate the adoration that, you know, your fans give you? And he was just like, man, I'm grateful. Just so grateful.
Yeah, you know, LL Cool J is one of those guys who, you know, I've just enjoyed watching over the years. And putting him and Chris O'Donnell as, you know, sidekicks was probably the best move in Hollywood, because those two, yeah, they can get on each other's nerves, but even they've said in interviews, they love each other. They actually really, really love each other. And, you know, you work on a set for 15 hours a day. Yeah. So, I mean, that whole NCIH set, yeah, that is an awesome show, which reminds me I need to catch up with that. So before I bring you on with my other co-host, I just wanted to have you reaction to last week on Wednesday. And I want to know from you, I've seen enough in your Twitter feeds to fall in love with you, especially after last week. You were saying everything I wanted to say and miss more. So what was your takeaway from last week? Wednesday,
well,
when...
It was Wednesday, January 6th. You know, there's a great deal of division, divisiveness, derision, divide in our country. And the unfortunate thing is so much of everything that played out last Wednesday is a result of the perpetuation of these lies about election fraud, about pervasive election fraud. And the simple truth is this. At its core, it is simply voter disenfranchisement. That's what it is. It is an effort by the GOP to disenfranchise the black vote, because all the places that they claim there are problems are in black populated areas. You have Detroit and Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and Madison, all these places that are predominantly black is where they claim there is all this voter fraud. But black voter suppression is nothing new in the U.S. Nothing. It used to be legislatively legal to suppress the black vote. That was the Jim Crow era. This is just the latest attempt to disenfranchise black voters and say, how dare you have the temerity to exercise your right to vote in our elections as if you're full Americans. Well, you know, one day, sooner or later, like it or not, the racists are going to have to accept that we are full Americans, and that's just what it is. Suck it up, cupcakes.
Well, yeah.
Wow,
I
was surprisingly
polite.
I didn't use profanity at all.
Oh, come on. Do it, please. I mean, because from last Wednesday, I've been in this profanity language. Okay, not only am I 93-year-old grandmother who now has really started saying really bad words. And when we were growing up, she was this spelled the word. When we were little, like, we couldn't figure it out, but we could. Little thing. But since
sure. He
took office, that's what I call him. He, like what Big Goldberg does. Oh, you know who. Took office. She's gotten a little, she's a little mouse now. And at first, I thought the family was going to blame me because, oh, my cousin. Because we are both really bad. But no. You know, she's
but now
angry.
Now she drops F-bombs all the fucking time.
Well, yeah. And I just want, when I heard, I live in Seattle. I don't know if you know that. I mean, you should know that by my tweets because I'm a huge Seahawks fan and everything. And for the Seattle police to find out yesterday that some of them were there, and some of them were there protesting on their free time. I'm having a really big problem with that. I'm like, you know.
Well, I think that we've known, or certainly in the black community we've known, but I think that it's coming to light more so that white supremacists run or basically managed to, for lack of a better term, hide out in the U.S. military and on police forces. You know, the police forces and U.S. military are rife with white supremacist membership. And it's been that way for decades. It's almost good that social media has become what it's become politically, so that it's harder to hide. You know, it's easier to put these people on blast, especially with everyone having a camera in their pocket.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I feel like if they don't impeach them, I'll do the 25th Amendment, which they need to do. And they need to have all those enablers who've been enabling him for 5 years go with him. And his family, and Giuliani is, you know, I never like to count down any date because that means I'm counting down to my birthday in June. But, you know, I'm going to be 45. But so for me,
you're still a mid
babe
in the
woods. I don't like to count, you know, down date because of that, but right now I am counting down to Biden getting in because I feel like since, you know, especially, I don't know, I'm asking you, with the COVID mess and, you know, with people dying and everything, and what was your take on the COVID thing? Like, did you ever dream last Christmas, let's say, that we would be, you know, spending next Christmas away from our families, you know, and we've gone on this long without, you know, really any help. Washington State has been having no help from that administration. And so what was your take on the whole COVID-19 mess?
It's a mess. I mean, you're stating it brilliantly. The simple truth is that that the GOP, again, decided right out the gate to politicize it, which is just idiotic. It's a virus. It could care less about your politics. It'll infect a Republican as readily as a Democrat, as readily as an independent. To politicize a virus is just lunacy, is the height of lunacy. To make the decision early on to try to downplay it as if it were nothing,
exactly.
as if it were a hoax, insane, and highly irresponsible from a leadership position. But then again, we've already known for – we knew going in that 45 was woefully ill-prepared for the job. The man doesn't have a diplomatic bone in his body and doesn't know the first thing about being a leader. He's a narcissist. He only cares about him. Everything is about him. So, you know, it's not a surprise that news would come out that he downplayed it for political and personal gain. But here we are. People, hundreds of thousands of Americans are dead on his watch because he is more wrapped up in himself than in anyone
exactly.
else. And yeah, he needs to be impeached and removed. And honestly, I believe that the impeachment voice is growing right now, and I think that there's actually a good chance because from a political perspective, the benefit of impeachment is if they do successfully impeach him, they can also further vote to ensure that he never is able to hold office again. So it would be one way
exactly.
for the GOP to purge him from their ranks forever and just make him go into oblivion. You know, as it is, his corporate partners are jumping ship. It's kind of fantastic to watch it all unfold now.
What I don't understand is why is it the African American community gets hit harder with COVID-19? Throughout this whole thing, I didn't understand. I still don't. I mean, I think people are people and everyone's going to get hit. But why have the African American community got hit harder by COVID-19?
It's because of a lack of access to health care, which has been an issue, again, for decades. Black people are more likely to suffer from heart disease and diabetes and all manner of other things that could otherwise be corrected with preventative care and with proper health maintenance. But a lack of access to health care precludes all of that. It's impossible to offset or to mitigate. That's the word I'm looking for. So it's impossible to mitigate those kinds of health crises when you can't afford to go to a doctor.
Yeah, and I totally agree. I just wanted you to take on that. I hope that was okay to ask that question because it's just been on my mind in the last couple of days when, you know, we post came out about that. And, you know, it's just crazy. My sister is a PA, and I haven't seen her. Well, I saw her for my birthday. We had to wear a mask. And I saw her last week when she dropped off my Christmas present, but she's a PA. So she's been working nonstop with this. And she goes to me, you know, let's go on vacation. I go, you were the one that told me I couldn't go anywhere. She goes, no, I mean after this is all over, let this leave. I'm like, okay. So, yeah, I mean, I feel sorry for the healthcare workers right now because right now they are in the line of fire of getting sick. And, yeah, the vaccine is here, people, but it will take months of everyone getting this vaccine. It won't be like an overnight Biden's in and everything's okay. No, we still have to be on our game. And and I know I'm probably taking up every, you know, Nadia won't kill, but I have two boys that will probably kill me, two guy hosts, co-hosts that will kill me. But my last question is, before I bring on David, Bobby, and then Nadia, so are you a football fan?
Die-hard, rabid Cleveland Browns fan. I am from Cleveland, Ohio, born and raised, and I am a rabid Cleveland Browns fan. Everyone that knows me knows that.
Interesting. That is good to know from the next year for football season when we have football night on the show, because I love the Seahawks, and I'm not over what happened on Sunday. I'm still not over. Saturday. I'm not over the game yet with the Rams. I'm still mad. I'm still ticked off. I was really, really thankful that you agreed on Tuesday instead of Monday, because I didn't have a voice yet yesterday because I was screaming at the ref the whole game.
And likewise, I was glad that we picked today instead of yesterday, because I was screaming jubilantly at the TV Sunday night as the Browns whooped up on the Steelers. I mean, it was glorious to watch.
Yeah, I mean, and in this for the Seahawks, for us, you know, we are finally on the map. It took us a while to get there. But no one can say we don't dominate things. We are not good enough. We are. You know, yeah, the whole game sucked. I will say that. But we have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. We have the best coach in the NFL. And the positivity is we are the only team in the NFL this season that didn't have COVID-19. With any of our players.
Wow. I actually did not know that. That is an impressive accomplishment.
Yeah, and I mean, even though I wanted us to go to the Super Bowl, I really did. But I think the thing that hurt us on the last game was, I seriously do, was we didn't have the audience in the, you know, we didn't have the fans in the stadium. And our fans can scream so loud that the earthquake monitor goes up. So for that,
sure. Yeah,
that's why when Nadia booked you, I'm like, just have him do Tuesday, because I was scared about my voice. So, and you were scared about your voice on Sunday. So it was
exactly, like
a really good thing that you picked Tuesday. So, yeah. And I'm going to bring on now, because I can take up your whole time. Well, I could, but I won't. I will bring on David first. Hey, David.
Hi.
How's it going?
I'm doing good. How you doing? I'm down here in Florida, going crazy with COVID. Trying to stay safe and keep it to myself. I'm doing good in Florida.
Well, good. Stay safe, man. I know in Florida it's running rampant.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. We had tornadoes, I mean, hurricane and such. That's a couple months. That's a month or so. But I'm doing good.
Good.
You've been so many of my favorite shows. I'm a big TV watcher. I love TV. You were on Neighborhood. What was it like being on Neighborhood?
Great experiences. Everyone that you asked me about, I'm going to say it was a great experience, because I would say 97% of actors out there are just wonderful people that are grateful for their opportunities and grateful for the lives they get to live. Cedric the Entertainer is a super cool dude. The episode that I did, Wayne Brady was the guest lead on the episode. Wayne and I we chatted all week, man. He's just a mad cool brother. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun hanging out in the Neighborhood. And Tachina spent the entire week flirting with me. It was really funny. Even with a mask on, she was just, like, as soon as I hit the set, she was like, "Hey, how you doing?"
For mine, it's a funny show. They brought up Neighborhood. I did a funny show on TV. And yeah. You're on ER too. What was that working on ER?
ER is actually one of the few shows where my scene got cut. So I had a really small ancillary role at the end of the episode where I discovered someone dead in a helicopter crash, and I'm the guy that discovers the body. And so they, you get to the end of the episode, and the helicopter's crashed, and the doctor's body is discovered, and they just cut my line. They just cut it. But it's okay because I still made it into the credits, and they keep sending me checks, so I'll take it.
Yeah, another great show.
Yep.
So you sound to me.
Didn't get around to mentioning though, when I was talking to Carly, is that when I was working on General Hospital, one of the reasons why I was so comfortable being on set was I've known Brooke Kerr since like '97. When I first moved to LA in '96, I met her less than a year later, and then I recurred on Passions for like 12 episodes back in the day. I had an under 5 role on that as well. That doesn't show up on my IMDb because that was before IMDb was a thing. So by the time IMDb came around, it was difficult to figure out what episode numbers I was on and get the credits on there properly, but. I did 12 episodes of Passions. And so she and I used to see each other on set all the time while she was a series reg on there. We got to know each other back then, and we kept in touch over the years. And so it was really, really cool to be working on set and have Brooke playing my ex-wife on GH. That was a blessing.
Well, I love Passions. I've been playing the Passions about that from beginning to end. That was a great show, so...
Yeah, man, I was the maitre d' in the Lobster Shack.
Oh, I remember that. I'm back to that. Okay, what's your go-to movie you like to watch? You have a favorite movie that you like to watch over and over again? You have a go-to movie you can watch over and over again?
Yeah, man. I mean, I was literally just having this conversation with a friend of mine earlier today. That's so funny. Yeah, I mean, some movies, like, you can catch them even in the middle, and you're going to wind up sitting there watching it to the end. So, you know, like Forrest Gump and Shawshank.
Great movie.
And like, Aquila and the Bee was on a couple of nights ago, and I caught it, you know, maybe one-third of the way in, and I ended up sitting up until 1 o'clock in the morning watching Aquila and the Bee because, you know, this movie just has so much heart, great performances. But yeah, Forrest Gump for sure is a go-to movie that you can just watch 100 times. Yeah,
great movie too. Yeah,
John Carpenter's The Thing. I'm a big movie buff.
Oh yes, another great movie.
Yeah, excellent character development and character interaction, story flow, and The Thing. That's a fantastic movie.
Well, I'm into classic, like old-time classic movies, horror movies. TMC, another TMC, I can watch TMC, MRD, TMC. And I'm a big Alfred Hitchcock fan. Psycho, my biggest favorite movie, Psycho. I watched it like a million times. Psycho.
It's so funny, man. Like, so when I was a kid, I was on a TV watching limit. So I could only watch 2 hours of TV a day on weekdays. And then I could only watch 4 hours of TV the entire weekend. So Saturday and Sunday combined, I could watch 4 hours of TV. So I remember I watched something for 2 hours on Saturday, whatever I watched. And then on Sunday, there was a double feature back-to-back. They were showing Hitchcock's The Birds, and then they were showing Psycho. But I only had 2 hours of TV left available to watch, so I had to choose one. And I chose The Birds. And I love The Birds. The Birds is a great movie. I loved The Birds.
Yes.
But do you know I did not get around to seeing Psycho until I was an adult? I was an adult. So it was at least, 10 or 11 years later, I finally saw Psycho as well.
Psycho is a great movie. I mean, the way Alfred Hitchcock directed it, like, it's amazing. You can watch the movie, it just gives you chills.
Yeah. Pun intended.
Yeah. When you're not working, what do you like to do when you're not working? Do you have any hobbies?
I'm a pretty avid poker player. I play a lot of poker. Excuse me. I host a poker game at my house every other Friday night when there's not COVID. But I've been doing that for, My game has been going on for 5 seasons, but I actually took the game over from another friend of mine. So my poker crew, I've been playing poker with these guys for 20 years. Like 20 years I've been playing with the same people.
Wow. Not big poker game, people. It's going to get old now, please. But I'm not going to take up your time either, but thank you for answering my question. You're always welcome back to come back. We appreciate you.
Thank you, David. I appreciate it, man. It's good talking to you.
Take care.
Of course he's going to come back because he knows I have a crush on him now, and of course, David, he will come back to me.
That's what it is.
So,
Carly has spoken.
Yeah, the cat's out of the bag now. Okay, so, David, I'm putting you on hold. Bobby. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, how are you doing?
All right, Bobby. How about yourself?
I'm great. I'm great myself. It was unfortunate that where I am, where we get general household because of the craziness last week and Biden being on at the time that general household was on in my area, I was unable to catch you as far as your last couple of shows.
Yeah, well, actually, the way it worked out was the episode that was supposed to air on January 6th got pushed to January 7th. So my episode that was supposed to air on January 7th aired on January 8th. So I was actually on this past Friday instead of this past Thursday.
Right, because I didn't know if your last day were today with the fact that Joe Biden was on with addressing the nation and with all the craziness in Washington in the last couple of days that preempted General Hospital, because we got preempted here in North Carolina because our governor came on today at 3, and it's supposed to air at 3:07 tomorrow morning. So I got the DVR set at the normal time that Cameron Hall is supposed to come on at night on our ABC station, because she has the same day episode of her show on overnight on our station. So I have tape for that.
Okay. Well,
anyways,
I hope you get a chance. I appreciate it.
Okay. But anyways, what was it like working with Trina? Because I think Cindy is probably one of the sweetest persons that you can think of, and she, just like Eden and William, probably is the reason why we got the new team set on General Hospital, something we haven't seen since the days of Georgie and Dylan when Scott Clifton was on there before going to Bowling Beautiful back in the day.
Yeah, well, Sydney is a super sweet young lady. You know, she's wildly talented. I think everybody can tell that. She was killing it in her scene with me. And she just met me that day. So, you know, for all the fans out there, it was like, oh, no, why'd they give that scene to, you know, her to have to play it with a perfect stranger? Well, she did not let that affect her performance. She is a consummate professional and just super nice. She is super nice.
Right.
We got a chance to run our scenes several times before we actually shot. So, you know,
right.
We spent a little bit of time in the green room together.
Mm-hmm. Right, because I remember about 4 or 5 years ago, she was just playing a young Gabby Douglas in the Gabby Douglas story, and now look at her now.
Yeah. No, her trajectory is moving right along, and her star is bright. I believe that
right.
Her future holds great things.
Yes, indeed. And you mentioned earlier you worked with Brooke Kerr, who you worked with in past on Passions.
Yes.
What was it like, and could you give me actual memory, either from recently or back when you two were on Passions on her that you mentioned earlier? Because I know you mentioned this earlier, but just a moment that stick out in your mind working with Brooke.
Well, I'll tell you that, again, just like working with Sydney, when you see my second episode, when you get around to seeing it, you'll see that four of my 5 scenes are with Brooke exclusively. It's just me and Brooke. And so, you know, we spent also a lot of time in the green room just running our scenes over and over and over again for several hours, waiting for our chance to shoot, finally. and, you know, she's just mad cool. I mean, she's the same Brooke I've always known. Interestingly enough, I'll tell you another little story. This is how I met Brooke. When I first moved to L.A., you know, when actors first move to L.A., they do anything they can to get on TV. So a lot of us back in the day, we used to do the dating shows that would be on TV. Like, they had just brought back The Dating Game, so I did an episode of The Dating Game. But then there was another show. There was a dating show called Buzz, where it'd be four guys behind a panel and one woman out on the set. And we would come out from behind the panel one at a time, and she would ask each of us one question. And if she didn't like your answer, she would buzz you off the show. But then if she did like your answer, she would ring the bell, and then that's the guy she picked, and she'd go on a date with him. So I was one of the four guys that came out from behind the panel, and she asked me one question, and my answer was whack and terrible as hell. And so, of course, she buzzed me off the show. And that's actually how I met Brooke. So then after that, we would bump into each other on auditions, and then it was like a year later, she was a series reg on Passions, and I was recurring on Passions. And so back then, we got to see each other on set and just laughed about the fact that she had buzzed me off a buzz.
Interesting. Well, I won't let I just won't let you take up. I just don't want to take up most of your time tonight. So I just want to just wish you well. Take care, and hopefully come back again. You're welcome back, like David said.
Thank you, Bobby. I appreciate you, man. I'm glad I had a chance to chat with you.
Okay, you're welcome, and have a good night, and hopefully we'll talk soon.
All right.
All right.
Bobby, I will put you on hold. And my partner in crime, Nadia, has been so patiently waiting. And she's the one that got you for us. So
she is. She is. She was downright Machiavellian and tracking me down.
Oh, yes. She did a great job.
How you doing, Nadia?
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
I absolutely loved what you just said.
Listen, I shot a movie back in 2015 with John Travolta and Chris Maloney, Sam Trammell,
mm-hmm.
Rebecca De Mornay. We shot for 5 weeks in Columbus, and Columbus, Ohio. And while we were there,
mm-hmm.
there was a woman who worked at the Ohio School for the Deaf that would make a daily campaign to go on Twitter and tag all of the cast members in the film in a post mm-hmm. to see if she could recruit us to come and read for the kids at the school. And so after about 3.5 weeks, I just finally relented. And I reached out to her and I said, hey, listen, I'm free. I can make some time to come and read to the kids. And I'll put out a feeler to see who else in the cast might want to come. And Amanda Shaw was also in that film,
mm-hmm.
Amanda Shaw from 12 Monkeys and Suits. So she agreed to come with me, and the two of us went and read to the kids, all because this woman harassed us until I finally said, you know what, stop tagging me. I will come read to the kids quite happily. And it was a fantastic experience. I love doing it.
Oh, wow. So you were recently on. So I was listening to your interview with David. I didn't realize that's right. You were on Passions.
Yeah. I was the major D in the Lobster Shack.
I forgot about that.
Most of my scenes, I would say, were with Jesse Metcalf back in the day. That's predominantly
mm-hmm.
who I worked with, because his character was always going to the Lobster Shack.
Wow. Yeah, because I absolutely love Passions. So I was like, oh, my God, when as soon as he said that, I was like, that's right. I knew he looked familiar from that show, too. I couldn't believe it.
Man, that was a long time ago. I look completely different. I think I had hair back then. That's how long ago that was. And I started shaving my head in 2001, so that is saying something.
Wow. So what made you begin your acting career?
So my cousin was Greg Morris. He was on the original Mission Impossible back in the 1960s. He was the black guy on the team. He played Barney Collier. And so when I was 7 years old, my mom and my brother, my aunt, we all drove across country from Cleveland to L.A. to come visit Greg in Beverly Hills. And I remember distinctly at age seven saying, whatever Greg did to get a swimming pool in his backyard, that's what I'm doing. And that was how I found out what acting was. I did not know what an actor was, but that's how I learned the term actor. And then when I got back to Cleveland, I had to write a little essay about what I did for my summer vacation. And I, you know, explained how I went to Beverly Hills to visit my cousin Greg Morris. And I remember the teacher was like, wait, Greg Morris is your cousin? And I was like, yes. And why are you so excited? And why are you freaking out about the fact that he's my cousin? And why do you know my cousin? So that was how I learned what fame was. I was like, oh, so there's acting and then there's famous actors. And I get it. So let's explore this acting thing. But realistically, it was the first play I ever did in school was Romeo and Juliet. I jumped right in with both feet. I played Romeo. And after I did that, I remember all the girls just looked at me different. And I thought, oh,
actually, really?
Yeah, this might be my calling. Yeah, I think I'll do acting.
That's awesome. And now, of all like the roles that you've played so far, what was your favorite out of them all?
Wow, that is, you are asking me to isolate down to something very difficult. I'll say this, that I'll tell you one of the most fun things I ever did was I shot a commercial, a DiGiorno pizza commercial with Tracy Morgan years ago.
Oh, wow.
Where we played superheroes. I was Justice Man and he was my sidekick, Righteous Boy. And I would go out and do all the crime fighting and he would stay back at the Justice Lab eating pizza. And, you know, it was this little 30-second commercial. But I shot for 2 days on that commercial, one day out in the streets on my motorcycle, and then the second day on the Universal lot on a soundstage. And he only shot that second day on the soundstage. So that was the day that we met each other. And we had, you know, maybe 12 seconds of scripted dialogue that we were supposed to do. So we did the first take. And I come into the cave, and I'm like, Righteous Boy, I can't believe you would have a pizza delivered to the hidden crime lab. And he's like, don't get your unitards in a bunch, Justice Man. It's not delivery. And so we went through the dialogue, and we get to the end of the scene, and then he threw out an ad-lib line. So I responded to the ad-lib. And then he kept going, and then I kept going, and kept going, and kept going, and get back and forth, and back and forth. And then 2 minutes later, you would hear the director go, and cut, and the entire ad agency is just falling out laughing around the corner, and he leans down next to me and he's like, man, we're gonna do this all day. I'm like, bruh, yeah. And so we ended up ad-libbing, not an exaggeration, probably about 45 minutes worth of just improv theater for a 30-second commercial. And There's only like one little moment that actually finally made it into the spot, because obviously it was a 30-second commercial. But, I mean, we did an entire series. Like, we could have done an entire campaign off of what we shot that day, he and I going back and forth. Because what I learned about Tracy Morgan that day is that he is an extremely giving comic actor. And so when he's in the scene with you, once he catches your flow and your vibe, what your comedy is, what your strength is, he would just set me up beautifully. And I already was familiar with him because he was already a celebrity. So, you know, I knew sort of what his comedy vibe was, having watched his stuff. So he would throw me the ball, and I would just throw it right back to him super smooth, and we just kept it going. And it was just a fantastic collaborative experience. And it was all rooted in the fact that He, as a giving actor, he didn't care who had the funny line so long as it was funny. And
oh, wow.
That is the very definition of collaboration. You know, it has to be funny because he's a comedian. But he didn't care if
right.
I was the one that got the laugh. He was fine with that. And I just, it was just a great experience to have done that all improv like that. It was a great experience.
Well, that must have been awesome.
Yeah.
Now, also, too, do you like Broadway musicals, like theater?
Yeah. I mean, I did my share of theater back in the day. I did Little Shop of Horrors. Mm-hmm. I played Seymour. I did Dream Girls. I played, oh, my God, I'm having a brain fart. Bessie's brother. Why can't I think of his name? I mean, not Bessie, Effie. Effie's brother. Effie, sing my song. Oh, my God, I can't think of his name. CeCe. I played CeCe.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So do you have, like, a favorite Broadway musical that you like to see or that you have seen or that you have been in, if you have?
Yeah, I don't know if I have a favorite. You know, I come from theater, and I did 8 mm-hmm. years of theater before I ever tried to do anything on camera ever. But even though I always knew I wanted to come to Hollywood, like, I had no desire to go to New York and do Broadway, but you know, I was a theater brat. I was in a theater 6 days a week, just almost every day. I would get off of work and go straight to the theater. So I don't know if I have a favorite. I mean, I did love Little Shop of Horrors. That is just a fun show to do. That is a fun show to mm-hmm. do. Dreamgirls was a lot of work. But Little mm-hmm. Shop was like just a kind of an ongoing fun experience. Yeah, so I'd say Little Shop of Horrors.
Cool. Yeah, I love theater. I've been doing theater since I was 3 years old. So.
Come on now.
And then,
what's your favorite?
So my favorite musicals are Hello, Dolly, The Sound of Music,
okay.
The
sure.
Wiz. Yep,
sure.
I love those. Peter Pan. There's
so,
a lot of
so would
musicals.
Would you be more interested in playing Wendy or Peter? Because Peter was always notoriously played by women.
So when I was in Peter Pan, I actually played a lost boy when I was in Peter Pan. But
yeah.
I would love to play Wendy.
Okay.
And I love Grease.
Grease.
Sandy in Grease.
Grease was
mm-hmm.
probably the first musical I ever saw as a kid. And I fell in love with Grease. I got the soundtrack album back in the day on the vinyl.
I
know.
Do too.
Yeah, I love Grease. Yeah, loved it.
Yep. Yeah. Grease was my favorite. Yeah, and then so Broadway musicals. I also too at the end of this month actually I've been doing auditioning classes with Mark Teschner because he works for TVI Actors Studio.
Right.
As
right.
well. So I'll be doing acting classes with him. So who knows? Never know.
Come on, you might pop up on GA.
Yeah, you never know. But
exactly.
You never know. But I cannot lose you. So even if you become an actress, Sonia, no, you still have to do this job. Okay.
I sure will.
Lose you. So yeah. Okay,
no,
you
won't.
Can go to Hollywood. I give you permission on that. You can get great roles, but you still have to be here. So, yeah.
I'll be here.
Yeah.
And let
yeah.
me also point out that Mark is a fantastic, wonderful human being. I heard. Obviously, I didn't have, you know, much of a relationship per se with him prior to this experience beyond just being an actor who had auditioned for him. But being able to communicate with him more directly as a result of the booking, he's just a wonderful person. He is a wonderful person, very generous, very considerate, very mindful. He has a memory mm-hmm. like a steel trap. I mean, I honestly hadn't been into audition for him for at least 2 years, or maybe sometime between 18 months and 2 years, since the last time I went into audition for him. And for whatever reason, I was the actor that crossed his mind when this opportunity came up for this emergency recast. And he thought
well, I'll
first.
Tell you,
he
you
reached
fit
out
perfectly as Taggart.
It was
perfectly.
A blessing. It was a blessing. I'm grateful.
Yep.
Also, I'd like to say, just for the sake of the fans, because Carly mentioned that Rayal is coming on the show, I believe, on Thursday.
You know,
a lot of times, and when you're reading the comments, the fans might try to pit us one against the other. Know that, you know, I don't even know Rayal. We've never met one another, but I have zero animus for him. I have nothing but love and respect for him, that he has been very successful in maintaining this character since its inception. I mean, he created the character, or not, well, he didn't create it, but he was the first actor. He initiated the character. And you know, I'm happy for him. I always celebrate my fellow actors when they find success. I think it's a fantastic thing, especially black actors. I think it's a great thing that if you can find success and maintain some sustainability. You know, I'm happy for him. I'm grateful to have had the opportunity to, you know, stand in his shoes for a brief moment, hoping that General Hospital decides to create an opportunity for me to come back on the show again in some other capacity.
I hope so. That would be great. That would be awesome. Who knows? We might both be on there together. You never know.
Come on, let's do it. Let's make it happen.
Exactly. That would be awesome. But I want to thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. It was great talking with you, getting to know you.
Thank you, Nadia. And, you as well.
Thank you. And I really
hope you
consider coming back.
Yeah,
100%. I'll be happy to come back.
He likes us. So, of course, Nadia, he's coming back. You know?
Of course.
And, you know, we are going to help him get on in daytime. I have some ideas in my head right now. And, yes, I could use my mind for good instead of evil, but in this case, I need to be a little evil because you need a job. You need a job 5 days a week working on a soap, right, Nadia?
Yes.
I like where your evil head is at, Carly. I like it. Also, let me take a chance to promote real quick. I have a guest star appearance coming up on an episode of Mom that I don't have the exact air date yet, but I believe it's going to be January 28th. Yeah, January 28th. I play a character named Corey. The next episode that's going to air is January 21st, and my episode is the one right after that. So I think it's January 28th.
Oh, this is so funny on that show.
Yeah, I mean, when I tell you Allison Janney is one of the nicest human beings, I mean, she's just a sweet, 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 wonderful woman. And Priscilla Presley, you know, very, very nice. Everybody's very nice. I mean, did I say Priscilla Presley? I meant Jamie Presley. Lord, Jesus.
I think you did.
Yeah, Jamie Presley. Wow. All right, just slap me crazy. And Rob Brownstein is a guest star on the episode as well. It was just a really fun experience working on that show.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow. Well, we will be sure to watch it and record it in other words in case we are on the air, but we will totally put that on our TV because we love Mom. And like Nadia said, yes, you have to come back. And I will get you back on General Hospital or Dave's or one of them. I don't know how I'm going to do this yet, but I'm sure my evil thoughts will come to me at 4 a.m. in the morning like they always do. So,
come on,
yeah,
mate, don't fight the urge. Get up. You got to get up. Don't be sleepy. You got to get up at 4 a.m. and put it into motion.
Well, yeah. Okay, so, yeah. I mean, people say that I'm like Carly Quinn on dates. And, okay, fine. If you want to call me a mob wife, go ahead. But, yeah, I will do what I have to do. And getting you on this soap full time, it's something the American people need. After 4 years of nightmares from this guy, we need you on the soap. That's the end of the day, yeah. Don't you agree, Nadia?
Yes.
Yeah. So
thank you
for calling in, and please come back anytime.
We'll do it. Thank you so much, ladies. I appreciate you.
Have a great night.
You too.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
So, that interview, hold on. I have to unmute the boys. I mean, okay.
Oh.
So, yes, you guys can tell me how amazing I was. And I apologize to all of you. I wasn't really watching the clock because I don't have a clock in my office right now because my clock broke, so I'm waiting for one from Amazon. And so, that was an amazing interview. Nadia, thank you from the bottom of my heart for getting that. And tomorrow, I have the most exciting news ever. I am so excited because I did this on my own.
You mute me for some reason. I was going to say that was a great interview.
Okay, I have the most exciting news ever to hit Daytime After Dark in a while. So, I've been talking Max Gill for the past, since November, October, and we became friends on Twitter. And so tomorrow at 5 p.m., we have Max Gill on the show. I am beyond excited. I'm beyond
Edinburgh. I am so excited.
You know what? I don't think I'm going to sleep tonight, honestly. Because you guys see, January 13th has always been a bad day for me. I mean, it was the day that my life to live was gone, I think, yeah. But it's also the 26th anniversary of my grandfather's death. And I really think somehow, some way, it was connected. It's not a coincidence. I don't know. I kind of talk to my grandfather sometimes. I know that sounds crazy, but I told him I won this interview so bad. And he was a big Barney Miller fan. And then when Max said yes, and, you know, he's the sweetest guy. For the first time in January 13th, I'm not dreading it. I am, like, happy. You know, 26 years of bad things. And now I have something really good to look forward to. And I'm just happy. I'm so happy. I'm happier that I did on my own, that I can take the credit myself. Because, you guys, I usually give you Nadia or David the credit. Well, on this one, it's me. It was me. I went for it, and I didn't care. I had to go for it. My heart was telling me to go for it. So, yeah. So we have that. And then on Tuesday, we have Andrews on at 1 p.m. the West Coast time. So, yeah, we are getting dental hospital people this week, if you want to think about it. This week is dental hospital daytime shows. Yeah.
That's great.
So I just want to say
I never thought about this, but when you had the other tagger on just a moment ago, and I was talking to him about what it was like to work with Trina and I'm going to blink on Brooke Hurd's character, Portia.
Yeah,
is that right? Is that her character on General Hospital, Portia?
I just want to say that. We are the best in the business. We are going to be better than ever. 2021 is going to be Daytime After Dark's year. And I would just want to say thank you, boys, for not texting me about the game on Sunday. That happened Saturday night. I'm still upset. I'm still, you know, upset by it. I'm still mad. I'm still pissed off. I feel like we, you know, it was not the best game for us. But, you know, like my grandfather always said, there will be next year and we can pull it out. And maybe by next year, COVID will be just a bad dream all of us had. You know, and just remember, too, if you guys, you know, you guys, let's just all get the vaccine. I know a lot of people are afraid of it, but I don't know. Getting the vaccine.
Well, I will tell you right now. I'm sorry, Carly. That I'm about to get the vaccine. I'm about to, you're not finished? Hello?
Yeah, you are.
With you?
Yeah.
Bobby, you, we are here, gone.
Yeah. I'm here. I just thought I interrupted you, Carly. I apologize.
It's okay.
Hello?
It's okay.
Yeah, anyways, I was going to say I'm about to get the vaccine, for the first shot, sometime soon, and I'm going to get the second one later. And hopefully, like you said, it'll be all bad dreams. But going back to what I was saying earlier about how we've been doing well with General Hospital Stars, I have a couple of suggestions, and you can reach them out on Twitter. David can reach them out. Nalia can reach them out. But I was thinking if we can get Trina or Portia on the show, that'd be great. If we can get Brooker or Trina on the show, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We can work on that. And I just want to say before we go, because I haven't eaten dinner, and my mom made me the best double egg and stuffed mushrooms, you guys. But this time, she added bacon in the stuffed mushrooms. And, you know, then I will, you know, thank him for coming on after, you know, my, you know, after I have dinner, I will write thank you letter to him for coming on the show. And I have a lot of emails to do tonight. And, but I just love the four of us right now. We are really good. Yes, we might be dysfunctional as hell sometimes. Just to tell you, Nadia, we fight like we are family. So you need to know that. You need to know that. I mean, we do.
Yeah, well, I have some good news. Well,
We don't mean to. Oh, God. Okay. David, I am so sorry. Oh, gosh. Okay. David, I swear I did not do that on purpose. I promise you I did not do that on purpose. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, like I was saying,
David,
you
knew
me
so
again.
Now I feel bad. Now I feel bad.
I don't know where David
went. You know, Nadia, after we have a guest on, we might need to unmute the boys.
Okay.
Yeah.
David, can you hear me still?
But I just want to say breaking news that I am really pissed off at Mike Pence right now. He will not. He's not going to go for the 25th Amendment. He is saying right now that even on the acts of what happened last week, you know, were bad. You know, he's not going to revoke the 25th Amendment. And I'm sorry, he is as culpable as Trump is on this, and I'm pissed. Yeah, I'm not happy, and I'm David. David, are you on?
Yeah, hello.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so I just want to say that we have a great week of guests. This year is going to be Daytime After Dark's year, I believe it. And people just don't fall under buildings, don't do anything. You know, be safe, because this is the year that I believe that Nadia will get us to be one of the best talk shows ever. Maybe we can take over Life the View. Who knows? And, you know,
that'd
I can
awesome.
Live with that. And so, yeah. And so, yeah, we are going to say goodbye now because I do need my voice tomorrow for Max.
What time
is that? We all need to rest up for Max. And
Max
now,
was at
5 o'clock
for you guys, 8 o'clock for me.
Yeah.
I have it posted.
Well,
okay.
Yes.
Nadia, where do you live again?
Boston.
I live in
Boston,
right?
Boston.
Okay, you know,
yep,
all three of you are 3 hours ahead. Right, Bob, and you're 3 hours ahead, right?
Yeah, correct. So
yep.
We would be 8 o'clock
okay,
our time, 5 o'clock tomorrow.
I'm on
yep.
The West Coast time.
Coast. Yep. And the active.
Yeah, that, you know, and I'm just praying that the East Coast doesn't get hit by any real storm, but Seattle is going to be hit with rain, and we might be flooded with all, you know, lakes and stuff might be flooded by tomorrow, so... We are getting so much rain, it is not funny. So, yes, that's ending here, but we will be back tomorrow night at 5 p.m. my time, 8 p.m. you guys this time.
All right.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, let's deal. Good night.
All right, see you all, talk to you all tomorrow night.
Okay, bye.
Bye, guys.